Welcome to the With Counseling Podcast. I'm JJ Blandford, founder and therapist of With Counseling. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the differences between in-person and virtual therapy.
Yeah, and I think kind of post-COVID, like we're still kind of struggling a little bit with this, right? We've seen this like major change from like kind of all therapy being in person in a lot of ways to like post-COVID, you know, there's options and like how to choose the right one. So how did your kind of journey happen of like, you know, in-person versus online or, you know, remote therapy?
So when I started at a group practice, it was all in-person. Virtual wasn't even an option. It wasn't something anyone thought about. And I think it's what people default to, because even when we think about therapy, when it's portrayed in movies, TV shows, whatever, it's in person. Like no one's doing a TV show.
There's a couch involved, right? You're laying on a couch. Yes.
Well, but there's no like, yeah. Who wants to watch someone on a Zoom therapy session? Yeah. And so I think traditionally therapy has been in person because there's something magical that happens in a space between two people. I joke often that I read vibes, and you can feel vibes in a room. You can ask a question and feel that shift between two people of, oh, maybe I shouldn't have asked that question yet. Right. Or something is awakening in this person and you can feel that in the room. And so that is a piece that I miss about being in person. I think there's also some really practical pieces to it. Things like people feel really safe in an office outside of their home. Kiddos feel really safe, you know, not wondering if a parent is outside the door listening, or are they in a space that they, you know, are being heard. And so I think sometimes the office space really creates this kind of like separate place where therapeutic work is happening. And so I think in-person therapy works really well, especially for kiddos. When I had to make the shift in COVID to virtual therapy, I was working with a handful of kiddos at the time. Okay. And while we wanted continuity of care, especially as their little worlds were being shaken, like it made sense to go virtual. And, you know, lots of time watching someone's fan. I met a lot of pets. I saw a lot of art. There was still work happening. Yeah. I just think, you know, moving forward, even in my virtual practice currently, I don't see kids because for me, it wasn't the best modality. So much of therapy for me with kids was play, and that's really hard to do over a screen.
It definitely gets complicated, I would assume. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of trepidation around like online therapy. I think even for myself, like you're an online therapist. And when it came time for me to like find a therapist, I just assumed I was going to be in person. Right. And I reached out to a guy and he's like, yeah, I can see you, but I'm only, you know, virtual. And it kind of was like, oh, you know, there's that little, like, it's hard to sort of wrap your mind around some of maybe the advantages of, you know, online or virtual therapy versus like in person. Have you found that to be true as well?
Yes. I mean, I think about like in your case, you also work from home. Right. You're always home. The idea of therapy at a place that would, you know, allow you the opportunity to leave home, to go somewhere else, to sit with someone else, I think made logical sense. And so I do think sometimes you find a therapist, maybe you're looking for someone virtually and they say, oh, I only have in person. You have to be at the place to say, do I have the time, the space? Am I open to this based on what the therapist has available? To me, the beauty of virtual therapy is it does create just ease, right? You're not having... Again, when I worked in Illinois, I had people that would drive 20 to 30 minutes to see me. So you're thinking 30 minutes there, an hour appointment, 30 minutes home. Like that is a huge chunk of time.
I'm not making many of those appointments. It's tough.
And when someone can see me from their home office, when they can step into their car in their parking lot on their lunch break. Virtual therapy just makes therapy more accessible to people. And that's part of the reason that I really love it. And it's been a good fit for the work that I'm doing currently.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I think too, for the same, there's like a group of people who wants that in-person experience.
Yeah.
And I have several clients who are pretty open about, I would never go in person to therapy.
Really?
It evokes anxiety for a lot of different reasons about having to go to a place and sit and be in the presence of another person. Whereas a screen kind of breaks that for people, you know, and different people for different reasons. But I think some people feel much more secure in the comfort of their own home. Maybe they can sit with a pet in their lap that helps calm them, or drink a mug of tea while we meet. And so they're able to use like their own creature comforts to kind of help regulate them even within, you know, a therapy session.
That makes a lot of sense. I guess I hadn't thought about that, but, you know, just even showing up places sometimes can be really scary, right? And having to, like, there is a little bit of a barrier even to that. Even if it's not just practical, there can be sort of an emotional barrier to that at times.
Yes.
But I think a thing you started off at the very beginning talking about is vibes. And I think vibes are like a really important thing to relationship building, right? So how do you, is there a way to kind of counteract the vibes that you miss out on in virtual therapy versus in person?
So when I initially moved from in-person to virtual therapy, it was simply because of the pandemic. We were at a place that we didn't feel it was a safe choice for myself, my clients, our family, for me to continue to meet with people in person. And so that choice was made for, I mean, yes, we made the choice, but the choice was made because we were living in a global pandemic. And I maintained great rapport with the clients that I had met with. And I was so nervous the first time someone reached out for therapy and we met for the first time online, because I wondered, I have very strong skills as a therapist.
Right.
And for me, it had always looked one way. You come to my office, we meet, you go home, I see you next week. Mm-hmm. And for me, part of my fear with the whole thing was, am I going to be able to translate these skills that I have in one setting to this other new to me setting? And yes, everything was going online at that point. We were also like feeling the fatigue of everything was virtual.
Yeah.
School, you know, everything was online. And right. So it was like, do I really want to sit at this computer for 8 hours a day?
Fair.
And what I realized is my skills translated.
Mm.
I, you know, the first client, it's like, I don't know, I hope this works. But, you know, the third, the fourth, the fifth, it keeps working. And I began to realize, yes, my skills translate online. Not always. Just like they don't always translate in person. Like sometimes people are just not the right, I'm not the right clinician for a client who's showing up. And so because of my experience in the pandemic, being able to build those relationships, building that rapport, you know, making the choice to start my practice here completely virtual was because I'd had that experience in Illinois and I was confident that I could build a practice in that same manner.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And like you talked about fatigue, do you feel like maybe, I mean, post-pandemic still even, there's a lot more online stuff in general, right? Do you feel like we've like, we have stronger muscles for like dealing with that? Or like, do you feel like we're better at that than we were when that started?
Yes. And I think part of that is because we also get to choose, right?
Yeah.
I can, as a clinician, I can still go to in-person continuing education events, and I'm still able to attend things online. You know, whether it's, and sometimes it's like very practical things. I'm able to attend a memorial service online that I don't have the ability to be in person.
Right, right.
And so I think probably there is some muscle that we have grown with that. It also feels very different when I'm getting to make the choice. Do I want to do something virtually or in person?
Sure.
Versus having that choice be made for me?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess what kind of suggestions would you have for people maybe looking to get into therapy and trying to choose between, you know, in person or online, or maybe struggling to find the right person? How would you kind of walk somebody through that?
I mean, I think part of it is looking at what do you need from therapy? Could you use your lunch break to see someone virtually? Are you really wanting an in-person therapist? Do you have a unique schedule, which, you know, would work for both? But like, are you willing to sacrifice hours in your evening or potentially on your weekend to add that in-person appointment to your life? Hmm. A lot of my clients are like, I prefer seeing you on a lunch break because it's just a part of my day and it doesn't always feel like an add-on.
Right.
You may also live in a community where like you could drive a couple minutes up the road, see someone in person. I don't think lunch break is only virtual.
Right. Right.
And I think there's something to be said for the convenience of it. Yeah. I actually, when I went back in person in Illinois, I had a lot of clients who'd said, I was kicking and screaming when you made me go virtual, and now it's so much easier.
Yeah.
Sure, I may come. And I had people who'd be like, once a month, I'm going to come see you in person. But now that I've done virtual and it's so much easier, I just want to stick with virtual. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it feels like there's already kind of roadblocks set up for us in getting into therapy, right? Just like kind of getting over the emotional part of it, finding somebody in our insurance, you know, there's just like roadblock after roadblock. And like now one of the main ones, which is like just finding the actual time to do it, can be gone, you know, by going virtual instead of having to kind of insist on being in person. And there may be times where that... That's what I wanted. That's what I thought I wanted, and have realized that I appreciate this other way better, you know, and probably wouldn't have found the time a lot of times to make it, right? It's just one more kind of roadblock or barrier to getting healthy, right?
Yes. And I think another huge part of virtual therapy is it gives access, especially in communities where therapy resources are limited.
Right.
You know, I've seen clients who were like, I'm connected. Maybe I'm a mental health clinician in a small town.
Right.
I don't want to see someone in my small town for my mental health, even though everything's supposed to be HIPAA protected. Yeah. Sometimes people are looking for someone who aligns with their set of values or beliefs, their race, sexual identity, that they may not feel is reflected where they live.
Sure.
And so I'm able to see people all over Texas. Mm. And so to me, one of the beautiful things about virtual therapy is you have access to just a much wider range of clinicians, which I will also note can make it feel much more overwhelming. You know,
yeah, too many choices, right?
Yes. Yeah. When you're looking at the whole state of Texas,
right,
it can feel bigger than like who exists in my town.
Right.
And so, you know, acknowledging for both virtual and in-person, there are things that are pluses of one that can also be a negative as well.
Yeah, because if you go to a practice that has like several therapists that's in person, right, you can kind of hit those different therapists as opposed to like getting on an insurance list and seeing 11 billion yes. people and trying to pick the right one. But I think referrals from friends probably is a great way to go. Like, do you have friends that have been in therapy and would they mm-hmm. suggest their therapist or any other sort of suggestions for sort of narrowing that?
I mean, I do think starting with insurance stinks and it's really real.
That's practical. It's right? One of those major practical sort of check boxes, right?
Because I think people think, oh, no, I would do private pay. And there are some people who do go that route. But I think if they look at their insurance benefit and say therapy is going to be $45 a session if they use their insurance versus, you know, $125 at a self-pay rate,
right,
most people at some point are going to choose to use that insurance. Yeah. So sometimes that's a starting place. I also think then you can sort on a site like Psychology Today by virtual or in person.
Okay.
if that is important to you and you're leaning one way or the other, using the filter of insurance is important. You can, you know, filter by gender, language spoken, all sorts of things to kind of give you like a list. And then I'm a big proponent of reading profiles. Yeah. I think a well-written profile gives you a flavor, how I, the makes language sense. I makes use, sense. Of who your therapist is and how they practice. Yeah. And so you may go in thinking like, this is what I'm looking for, and kind of read and be like, oh, they're not necessarily aligning with what I thought I wanted. And so, yeah, having that openness to like virtual or in person may also give you more choices of who's available to see you.
Yeah. When rounding out that flavor profile, if we can say that about your therapist, videos, right? Psychology Today a lot of times has videos where you can kind of see the actual person and maybe, you know, see how they talk and just, you know, get a little bit better feel for them, right? There's some of that stuff out there. But I guess I don't want to pretend like it's easy, right? I've gone through, you know, I had a few misses when it came to like finding somebody who worked for me, right? And I think even virtual makes that even a little easier because it's not a huge, I'm not like going somewhere, finding out after three or four sessions, it's not working out, and then having to like find another place. I can try somebody out online, mm-hmm. do a few sessions, and then changing that's not as big of a deal, right?
Yeah. And I also, I mean, again, to me, that's a positive and a negative of... I do think it's important to make sure you're finding someone who is a good fit. I also think sometimes the virtual piece makes it easier to disengage with service than it is if you're in person and having to show up to an office, and making sure that your therapist is the right fit is important, whether you're virtual or in person.
Yeah, it's all trade-offs, right?
Yes.
Just like anything. Well, that's good. Any other kind of closing thoughts or suggestions for people?
No, I just think it's important to even understand like what could be a benefit of each and thinking about, is one a deal breaker for you or not?
Yeah.
I also just think an openness to something new. Like virtual therapy is still... new.
Yeah.
Insurance started covering it much more broadly during the pandemic. Like, this is something that I think will continue to morph and change as the years go on. And so I think if you are in traditional in-person therapy, if that's working for you, that's great. And there's this other way that therapy is changing and morphing and growing. And I think it's exciting to be in a field that has some growth.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Well, I feel like we probably covered everything. I think we
nailed entirety.
It. Yeah. Okay.
Of course.
Perfect.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, just shining light on the differences between virtual and in-person therapy. Hopefully it gives you some clarity about how you would want to pursue therapy moving forward. If you have more questions or would like to connect, I'd love for you to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at CounselingWith, or shoot me an email from my website at CounselingWith.com.